Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word is life and health to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're present here today as our teacher, as our guide, the one to illuminate our hearts and bring these things, make them a reality to us, that this isn't just a nice doctrine, a nice teaching, but it's life and it's health and it's real to each one of us. So thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your teaching gift. Thank you for utterance this morning and for ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Last week we started looking at some things about God's will is healing. And, again, this isn't new stuff. This is stuff that we've talked about over the years many times. But I just wanted to start kind of doing it from a foundational perspective again. You know, when you're building, anytime you build a building, especially this huge superstructure, some of the tallest buildings in the world, sometimes it takes them months and months, if not a year, just to build the foundation, because the foundation goes so far down into the ground, and it's not observable. Nothing looks like anything is happening when a foundation is being laid or a foundation is being driven into the ground. Some of those buildings, the pilings that they put in to support these huge, huge skyscraper types of buildings, the pilings go down, 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 down. And of course, it doesn't look like anything's happening. People could drive by and say, I thought they were building something here. Why isn't anything happening? It doesn't seem like anything's changing. Well, that's what these types of teachings are like when it comes to these foundational types of principles in our lives. Foundations have to go down first. And if the foundation is faulty, then the building will be faulty. So we want to make sure that we take the time to establish the most basic premise for healing, and that is that it's always God's will to heal. Always. And we'll see that. We looked at that some last week. You know, we're going to say God's word is final authority. Amen. You know, faith begins where the will of God is known. And so Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to their flesh. So when it comes to the issue of healing, that's really a prescription for healing. Wouldn't you say? Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, that's a prescription for healing. He's telling us how we can enjoy life and health. He says, attend to my words. You know, there's lots of words we could attend to. We could be attending to what the doctors are saying. We could attend to what they're broadcasting on the news, all these scary things that are going on in the world health-wise. We could be attending to those things. We could be attending to some of the traditions and doctrines we were raised in. You know, some of those things that may not be quite right. You know, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I wasn't taught about healing. In fact, it never even registered with me or occurred to me that I might be able to go to God to receive healing. And so he's telling us what we need to do. He says, attend to my words. Now, if you were a nurse or a doctor, what do they call the physician that visits you in the hospital? He's your attending physician. Doesn't that mean he's there to check on you? And then he's got nurses that they check all your vital statistics, and they make sure your blood pressure and your oxygen levels and all of those things are healthy. Well, that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to be attending it as if we were attending a patient. We need to attend to the Word of God. We need to stay so focused on it, never leave it, never depart from it because of an experience. Sometimes people say, well, healing can't always be God because so-and-so that I know, they were a really good person and they died. So what do we do? What do we do with that? We do with that is we want to try to make God's Word conform to our experience, instead of our experience conform to God's word. And you know, we never know why somebody dies. We don't know why. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we find out from the words of their own mouth that they wanted to go home or they're tired of fighting or something like that. But in most cases, we really don't know. We really have no idea what it is, what was the reason for that person. But we know God never fails. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we looked last week at scriptures from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation that show it's always God's will to heal. Jesus, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says he's the express image of the Father. The express image of the Father. And we know from Acts 10:38 that he went about doing good and healing all. You know, no one ever came to Jesus to be healed where he said no, or later, or no, you need to suffer through this for a while. He never did that. And he is an exact representation of the Father. So we can learn so much just by reading just the basic gospel account. So he says, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Don't let it get out from before your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart, because it will be life to those that find them and health to their flesh. The word life, when it's used in the scriptures, most often is talking about health, vibrant health, good health, divine health. And then in Psalm 107, verse 20, it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So God's word is first and foremost our first means of going to the word, finding out what the word has to say is the first step in learning about healing. Let's look at 3 John chapter 1. We're just going to look at those three verses. You all know, 3 John 1. There's only one chapter in 3 John, of course, we all know that, but 3 John, this is one of the most classic scriptures that we use to help establish this. Verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. For I greatly rejoiced when the brethren came to testify of the truth that is in thee, as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So he's telling us here, and I look at every translation available that I have in my Bible program, they all say the same thing. It's God's will that we prosper and that we be in health. And I know, again, people shy away from some of these things, especially prosperity, because of the abuses that there have been. We've all heard about abuses, haven't we? We've all heard about crazy things that people have done in the name of prosperity and given. But that doesn't change God's will. Just because people mess things up does not change God's will for prosperity or for healing. He says, above all things, that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So again, soul prosperity, the renewing of the mind, is absolutely pivotal when it comes to the issue of healing. But I love what he says after that. He says, for I greatly rejoiced when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And you know what? As a pastor, as a teacher, I would have to say that's true. When people start getting a hold of the healing message or the message of prosperity and they start walking in it, that brings such joy to us. When we see people walking out the truth, we're not just sitting there accumulating facts and we could quote scriptures and we could repeat things we've heard, but we're actually seeing it translated out in our life, in our lifestyle. That brings us great joy when we see that type of thing happening. And then John chapter 8, verse 32 says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You know, sometimes people will say, well, the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. But it isn't just the truth that will make us free. It's the truth we know that will make us free. And it isn't just the truth we know that will make us free. It's the truth we continue in that will make us free. So we have to continue in the word. If you're struggling in the area of healing, if there's an area in your life that you know this is not what God means, God's best for me, and we talked about putting up with things. Sometimes we put up things with things just because they don't seem to be inconvenient enough. Sometimes we have allergies. Well, God wouldn't heal you of allergies. Oh, yes, he will. Go back and read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. It lists tons and tons of things in there. It even talks about mildew and the itch and the botch. I don't know what the botch is. I've never really looked up what the botch was yet, but I'm sure it's nasty. But he said all of these things. He said, I would bring none of these things on you. So there's all kinds of things that I think sometimes we put up with. We just don't think it's inconvenient enough. But that's not divine health. So he says, you will know the truth. You continue in the word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So we need to continue until it becomes ours. I shared last week about Brother Hagin that when he was a young boy on the bed of affliction, I think he was 16 when this happened, he was, of course, bedfast because he was partially paralyzed. And as he was laying in his bed, his family was fully expecting him to die. Actually, they were prepared for that. You know, the pastor would come and minister these wonderful words of comfort to him about him going home. And he would lay in his bed and he had his grandmother's Bible and he would read his grandmother's Bible and he would just kind of, because he was partially paralyzed, he would just put his hand on the Bible and just kind of pull it to swipe the pages. And he got to Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, and he saw there that healing was for him, that he was the whosoever or the whatsoever that was spoken of in that passage of scripture. And you know what? All of a sudden, he knew something he didn't know before. He knew that was him that was talking to. And see, that's what we have to do. We have to be willing to spend time in God's Word until that happens to us. Till we can look at God's Word and go, that's for me. To where it's real to us. It's not just something I know. I know that. I've heard, you know, Brother Hagin's preached that, or so-and-so's preached that, or my favorite radio preacher has preached that, or my favorite television preacher has preached that. I've heard that scripture. I could quote that scripture. I've got it committed to memory. But do you know it? Is it yours? See, that's when it makes a difference in our lives, when it becomes ours. And it takes time in the Word, meditating in the Scriptures, allowing the Holy Spirit to make that real to us. The Holy Spirit, you know, I've been thinking so much about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he was going to send him, and he's going to send another comforter, another was one, just like myself, is what he was telling them. And he would come and he would teach us and he would reveal things to us. And so the Holy Spirit is, Jesus could only be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere with all of us all the time, anytime. And so he's here. When you're reading through the scriptures and you are meditating on a passage of scripture, you thank the Lord. Ask him to quicken that word to you, to make that word alive to you. You know, he isn't just a partner or somebody to be there for whenever. He's always there to help us. And so if we've fallen behind in the ability, or we don't think we're getting what a scripture is saying, you know, sometimes you're reading something, you know there's something there. You just know there's a passage that you've been reading and you just know there's more here than what I'm getting. There's more here. There's something here. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He is there to explode that and make that alive to us and bring and shine a light on us. And that's happened for everybody in this room, I'm sure, where you've been reading along and it's like it just jumps off the page at you. That's when revelation comes. And a lot of these things, we may know them, but we don't know them. They have not become revelation to us. We haven't been able to say, that's for me. That's God speaking to me. And so that's what our goal is for healing, is we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's God's will to heal, and it's always God's will to heal. Jesus never turned anyone away. He never said no to anyone. He always healed. And many times it says in the scriptures that he healed them all. In fact, Acts 10:38 says that, doesn't it? It says he healed all who were oppressed of the devil. So that's something we need to understand. First of all, if we don't have it down, if that isn't like number one, you know, it's like an outline. Absolute number one is God's will to heal. If we don't have that firmly established, we're going to struggle with this issue for the rest of our lives. And so it's like we talked about last week. It's like the starting line of a race. You know, races are either won or lost at the starting line. If they have a bad start, they usually don't win the race in most cases. But if you have a faulty start, a bad start, you're not going to win that race. And knowing that it's God's will to heal, and that it's always God's will to heal, that is like the starting line of the race. We have to, coming right out of the gates, we have to know. Otherwise, what's going to happen? We're going to waver. We're going to waver. We're going to think, well, I believe God's a healer, but I don't know if he'll heal me. And I don't know if he'll heal me this time. And I don't know if maybe he's got some greater purpose for this. Or maybe God just is trying to teach me something. Or maybe I'm reaping what I've sown. You know, we all these, if we're well taught, sometimes those things will kind of come back and bite us. But we're all running this race. And again, if you don't start properly, if your foundation is faulty, and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's always God's will to heal, then you're not going to ever receive. And that's why I think some people can go for years with the same thing and never see healing, because they've tried to reason it out in their minds. James chapter 1, it says, in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, Let him ask of God who giveth liberally. You know, when you go to God and you say, I don't understand what's going on here. Why am I not seeing the manifestation of this healing come? You know, God won't scold you for that. That's what that means. If you're lacking wisdom, he's not going to scold you. You know what he'll do? He'll show you exactly what it is where maybe your belief system's just a little skewed. Maybe you're not established in righteousness. Maybe you just don't have some of those basic truths well enough established yet to know that healing belongs to you, to know that healing was part of the atonement. It's part of what was already, the price that was already paid. Healing was already paid for. When Jesus took those stripes, by his stripes, you were healed. If we don't know these things, we'll waver. We'll waver when we go and we need to receive healing. It says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That means no doubting, no division, no doubting, no questioning within yourself. And sometimes that's what we can send. You know, we have to be honest with ourselves when it comes to praying and going to God to believe. To take him at his word when we see a promise, you have to check, is there any wavering on the inside of me here? Am I doubting? It says, nothing doubting, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. It says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, it doesn't say that God wouldn't give it. It says that he will receive it. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So it says, don't waver, don't doubt. Listen to the Amplified. It says, no wavering, no hesitation, no doubting, no questioning. See, if we go, well, I just don't know. You know, I brought this on myself. You know, and I'm not saying that there isn't something. Sometimes the Holy Spirit might challenge you on and say, you know, you need to forgive. You know, he's not withholding, but, you know, unforgiveness will clog up your receiver. If you're, you know, on the radio receiver has to be tuned a certain way to receive. If your receiver's clogged or something's hindering you from receiving, you won't get a clear signal, will you? Well, that's true with healing, the healing power of God. It's not that God stops broadcasting healing. It's that we can't receive it because there's something clogging it up. Maybe it's unforgiveness. It might be some false belief, some doctrinal, some set of doctrines that we've believed our whole lives. You know, we could go on and on and on about that, but it says no wavering. No hesitating, no doubting, no questioning. Listen to the Phillips translation. It says, the man who trusts God, but with inward reservations, is like a wave of the sea carried forward by the wind one moment and driven back the next. You ever been there where you feel like you're just on there, you're just on board believing God about something, and then something comes along and you kind of pull back? And then you push in again, and then you kind of pull back. You retreat. That's what this is talking about, inward reservations. That sort of man, Phillips goes on to say, cannot hope to receive anything from God. And the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. So we can't be loyal to the symptoms we're experiencing or the old stinky doctrines that make God's word of no effect. We can't be loyal to them and loyal to the doctrine and principles of God healing every time either. We can't be loyal to both because it says those will cause us to have inward reservations. So, you know, some people have heard perhaps that it's not always God's will to heal. They've been taught, you know, that healing is no longer for today. They believe it's God's will to heal, but maybe not everyone. It's maybe just for certain people. It's not for everyone. Or that God allows sickness for a greater purpose. What does that do? That will cause a person to waver. Because when they go to God, they can't go in faith because they're divided within themselves. They're already divided. And then what happens is because no manifestation of healing comes, then they'll question the reality of healing. They'll question God's word on healing because they don't see the healing, the manifestation of the healing. It wasn't God's will that changed ever. God's the same yesterday and today and forever. And again, remember, Jesus was the direct expression of the Father, a direct, exact representation of the Father. And all we ever see Jesus do was heal. He never said, no, no, you can't have it. I need to teach. We need to let this go a little longer. We need to let this disease run its course, you know, a little longer to make sure you got your lesson learned. No, we just never saw that. We never saw him placing conditions on them. In fact, in some cases, we looked at those last week, he was tapped into by people and didn't even know it. The woman with the issue of blood came and grabbed onto the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? And she was healed, and he had nothing to do with it. If that doesn't show the willingness, it's like a blank check for healing. And he didn't turn around and say, I didn't tell you you could do that. I didn't tell you that you could demand healing from me. I didn't tell you you could have that healing power. Give it back. He didn't do that. Or he didn't turn around and say, lady, I didn't sit down and counsel you. You know, we didn't go through all your life and your deep, dark secrets and to make sure that there's no sin in your life or that there wasn't some type of horrible thing going on that would hinder you. He didn't do that at all. He just said, according to your faith. He said, your faith has made you well. So these are things that we have to, that's why it's so important for us to read through the Gospels and to spend time meditating on the different accounts of healing to see these things. 1 John chapter 5, I know I'm doing a lot of review here, but I just feel I need to do that this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. So there's a huge contrast between 1 John 5 and James chapter 1, one is talking about wavering and one is talking about confidence. And that word confidence means boldness. If you're not bold about healing, then you're probably wavering. You need to have a boldness, an absolute boldness about your healing. Why can you be bold about healing? Because someone paid a price for it. Somebody's precious life was given so that we could be healed, not only so that we could be forgiven of sins, but so that we could be healed. Again, it's like two sides of a coin. One side of the coin is the forgiveness of sins. The other side of the coin is the healing of our physical bodies. Why do I say that? Well, because Jesus, you remember in the account of the man let down by four? And Jesus said to them as he saw him being lowered down through the roof, he said, my son, your sins are forgiven. And then the people, the leaders, the religious leaders that were sitting there, he could tell that they were questioning. You know, they said, who has the right to forgive sins on this earth? And Jesus says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk? In other words, he was making them the same. He was saying, look, if your sins are forgiven, then take up your bed and walk. If you'll accept that you are forgiven, who here questions that they're forgiven? Anybody? The day you made Jesus Lord of your life, you were forgiven. All your iniquities. Isn't that what Psalm 103 says? He forgiveth all our iniquities. And then in the same verse it says he healeth all our diseases. Why? Because that's one coin. Spend it. Spend the whole coin. You can't just spend half of a coin, can you? Spend the whole coin. If you are forgiven, then you are healed. See, the thing is that what we fail to get a hold of is that healing is already a reality. It's already ours. It already belongs to us. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, tell me, do thieves break into houses to steal if the house is empty? If there's nothing there, does a thief bother breaking into an empty house? Unless he wants to, you know, hang out there, live there for a while, you know, hang out in somebody's empty house and live there for a while. No, thieves can only steal if there's something there to steal. So if the devil's coming, you know, we say, oh, it's just the devil. Yeah, the devil is coming to steal your health. We're not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed, and the devil is trying to steal our sickness. And if we don't get that perspective right, we are the healed. What did Jesus say? By my stripes, you were healed. By his stripes, we were healed. So he's coming to try to steal. It says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Can somebody kill something that's not alive? So that means you've got the life of God in you. So the devil tries to come to steal your health, to kill the life of God and to destroy something that is so precious and that exists so abundantly. Well, then why am I not getting it? Why am I not healed? Why am I not experiencing these things? Because we don't know it. We don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're the healed and the whole, that by his stripes we were healed. We don't know it. It's not ours. It's not real to us. It's not a revelation that we own until you own it. You have to own these things. You have to be like Brother Hagin. You have to look at those scriptures and you have to get to the place where you know that that is yours and nobody's taking it from you. It's absolutely yours. It belongs to you. So when you're reading through these wonderful passages of scripture and you're seeing these wonderful truths, you need to say to yourself, when you see the leper getting healed, you need to say, if Jesus healed that leper, then healing is for me. If Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, then healing is for me. If Jesus healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, then healing is for me. If Jesus sent his word to heal the centurion's servant, then healing is for me. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. Anything God does for somebody else, he'll do for me. Doesn't it tell us in Corinthians that all the promises in him are yes and in him, amen? All of them. Any promise you can see in the Bible is yes for you. It's amen for you. So it's always God's will to heal. It's always his will. And that's why when we are in need of healing, we can boldly go to God for healing. We don't have to sit down and try to take inventory of why. Why am I sick? Because you've got an enemy. That's why. If you're being attacked with sickness, it's because you have an enemy. You have an enemy who hates you. He hates God. He wants to steal from us. He wants the church to be sick and beat down and poor and depressed, joyless. That's what he wants, because we're not going to win the world if that's what our lives exemplify. The world wants to see something better than what they've got. They want to see joy in the midst of difficult situations. They want to see people that are bold about healing in the time when pandemics are moving across the face of the earth. That's what the world needs to see. They need to see marriages that last more than 10 or 15 years, 5 years, 2 years, 1 year. You know, we don't have to have prenuptial agreements because we plan on staying married. Amen. Tell you, anytime somebody would want a prenuptial agreement, I would think, well, I don't think something's not right there. Something not quite right with that. I wouldn't even go into that marriage arrangement if that were the case. So from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through to the end of the book of Revelations, we see healing is a reality. It's a reality. It's always God's will to heal. It's never God's will to hold back. It's always his will to minister to people and to take care of people. And the thing where I want to go with this eventually is, as we get through this process, as we need to get to the place as the body of Christ where we are ministering healing to people. Isn't that part of the Great Commission? And yet it isn't happening. Most Christians have never prayed for a sick person. They've never laid hands on a person and expected them to be well. Ever. Because they're concerned about their own healing. They know they can receive healing. They believe in healing for themselves, but they've never ministered healing to anyone else. And yet that is one of the most enormous calling cards God has to the lost, is when it's like a dinner bell. Look at the goodness of God. He'll heal your body. And you know, I'm listening to a guy out on the West Coast, some of his teaching, they're seeing phenomenal healings. In out in the West Coast, in this one area in California, they're seeing MS healed. They're seeing, I heard of a testimony of babies, two different situations where babies in the womb, they did Hillary, help me, the test where they can tell if they have Downs. Yeah. The babies had Downs. They prayed for them. The babies didn't have Downs. So this is what the world is waiting for. It's waiting for the body of Christ to rise up, get past our own need for healing so we can begin to heal. What does that tell people? It tells them that the kingdom of God has come nigh them. That's what it tells people when we're able to. The kingdom of God is here. It's as close as me reaching out and touching you. That proves God is real. It proves that he's here. It proves that he's alive. That's what we need. That's what we need. But if we're still struggling on this foundational level, if we're still stumbling around questioning whether or not it's God's will to heal me, if it's always God's will to heal, or if there's any reason I couldn't be healed, well, then how could you minister to someone else? How could you minister healing to another person if you've got those doubts yourself? Jesus said in the Great Commission, he said, you will lay hands on the sick and recover. It didn't say, you know, sit down and counsel with them for a bit and find out what's going on and see if there's any unconfessed sin and blah, 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 blah. You know, he didn't do any of that. He just said, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. This is what the body of Christ needs to begin expecting. And we need to be bold in this. We need to be very bold. And I begin believe that if there's going to be this great revival we keep hearing about, this great inpouring of harvest, it's going to be preceded by miraculous signs and wonders and healing. That's preaching the whole gospel. Preaching the whole gospel includes signs and wonders. So this is something we have to have this very firmly established, first and foremost, that it's always God's will. It's always his will to heal. It's never his will that people die sick or go home prematurely. Doesn't it say in Psalm 91, with long life that he'd satisfy us? I don't know too many people, unless they're struggling with some kind of depression or mental issues, that want their lives to be short. Who's believing God to go home prematurely? Nobody. We all want to live long. We all want to live long and in good, strong health. Well, that's God's will. That's his promise to us. I tell my mom that all the time. She's going to be 98 on her birthday in March. And I tell her every time, I said, Mom, you know what? You don't have to go till you're satisfied. And she says, well, I'm not satisfied. You know, she's just happy to sit in her chair and knit her hats to give to people. And she's just fine with that. You know, there's some things she'd like to be a little better, like her hearing. I tell her that, Mom, you don't have to go until you're satisfied. But Jesus says with long life, he'd satisfy you. Go when you're satisfied. Well, I just feel like I have some things to do yet, you know. So she wants to get all her Catholic children into the kingdom is what she wants. But that's what God wants for us. But, you know, you won't live long. And who wants to live to be 98 and be sick? Do you want to be a sick, pain riddled, have a pain riddled body when you're, if Jesus tarries? No, that's another whole issue. We have no idea. That could be sooner than we think. But who wants to live a long life in a sick body, a broken down body, a crippled body? Who wants that? Nobody. That's not God's will. That's not his best. And we should be pushing for the best. Isn't that what mind renewal is for? Is to prove what God's good, acceptable, and perfect will is? The only way we're going to prove it, in other words, bring it into a manifestation in our lives, is to get our minds renewed about this stuff. And that means stop putting up with these little minor things in your life. Stop putting up with the allergies. Stop putting up with whatever it is. Fill in the blank. The things that maybe are genetic. The things maybe, you know, and I've heard people say, but you don't know, you know, when a person's really dealing with a serious illness, that's a whole different thing. Seriously. You know, really acute symptoms are really hard to believe God for. Well, it's only hard for us. It's not hard for God. I mean, how much worse can you get than dead? Yeah. You know, Hillary, you can't get much worse than dead, right? Didn't Jesus raise the dead? Yeah. He raised the dead. So, you know, we are the ones that think, oh, this is, I remember years ago, somebody came to me that had some cancer issues, scares, and this is really serious. This is really serious now. And it's like, that's no more serious for God than the allergies are for God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The same stripes were born. Those stripes were born for whether it's cancer, whether it's an allergy, whether it's chronic headaches, whether it's Ebola virus, whatever it is, those stripes were born for that. Those stripes were born, and it doesn't matter. It's us that it affects. It's like the parent, the father that came to the disciples with the son who was throwing himself in the fire and throwing himself in the water. Why couldn't they heal him? Because they were being so moved by what they were seeing, these acute symptoms. That's where the struggle is we get so moved by what we see and what we feel. Well, what did Jesus say was the answer to that? Prayer and fasting. Now, prayer and fasting isn't what healed that boy or would have healed that boy. Prayer and fasting gets our focus off of how acute the symptoms are. Listen, if the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the stripes of Jesus aren't enough to heal every sickness and every disease, then prayer and fasting is not going to come close to touching it. Prayer and fasting deals with us. It gets us into a place where we get all that sense stuff that we're so affected by out of the way, and we're in a much better place to receive the healing that belongs to us already, to see the manifestation when we get that stuff out of the way and we become so focused on God and we deaden our senses and we become much more in touch with God through prayer and fasting. That's why prayer and fasting is so important at a time like that. Not because the more serious the illness. Someone said that to me recently. Well, you know, when somebody's really in pain and it's just much more difficult to believe for that healing. I don't believe it is. I don't believe it's more difficult. It's just more difficult for them to get past their symptoms. That's really what it is. It's not more difficult. It's nothing for no more difficult for God to heal, is it? Absolutely not. We see the whole gamut of things. A man who'd been paralyzed his whole life that was brought on a stretcher. We see the situation, a woman with the issue of blood. How long had she been like that? 12 years? Was it 12? 18 years. The man at the gate, beautiful. I mean, many of those situations had been like that most of the, if not all of their lives. And yet they sprang up and responded immediately to words spoken in faith. So we have to get our thinking about sickness and disease. You know, some people would never even think of praying for somebody with a serious life-threatening disease because they think that it takes something more. It just takes less unbelief. That's all. That's all it takes. Not more faith, just less unbelief. That means you just can't be moved by what you see. All right, we have to quit there. But we have to just, first and foremost, the foundation for the healing, whether it's for us or whether it's for ministering healing to other people, has got to be that we know absolutely no holds barred, no questions, no conditions, no exceptions, you know, the little clauses. You know, I'm say one more thing here. My husband and I are Herberger shoppers, and we get, you know, if you spend a certain amount of money in a month, you get these $20 rewards cards. They're wonderful. But you have to read the fine print. And I always go up to the cashier, and I always give them my rewards card, and I say, okay, I've got this. What can I buy that this is even going to apply to? Because there's so many exceptions. Can't be used on this and can't be used on that. You can't use it in combination with this. Or if you come here on a Tuesday at 1:34 in the afternoon, you can't use it. And if your eyes are brown, you can. I mean, it's just, the exceptions are just incredible. You know, it's like, what is with that? What is with that? Well, that is not what God's word is like. God's word does not, he doesn't have a whole bunch of clauses and exceptions. All the promises in him are yes, and in him, amen. Amen?